Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 11. Again, we'll put a few verses on the screen. I'll read to you. You can follow along. Just write them down, and I'll give you a chance to get your hands free, and we'll make our confession together. Again, on the back of the bulletin, there is a place to write down these scripture references or any notes you want to take with you in the time that we have today. So Acts chapter 11, and if you have your Bible, if you just hold your spot, would you join me as we make this confession together? If you agree with it, the words on the screen, we ask you to just join us as we confess our confidence in God to speak to us by His Spirit through His Word today. All right, so you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, even as people, we create things, whatever it may be, for a purpose. I believe that's a God-given quality that He placed in us. In other words, God is a God of purpose, and He creates everything that He creates for a purpose. And I want to just read you a couple of verses before I join you there in the book of Acts. The first one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Again, it'll be on the screen if you want to write it down. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16, the Bible says this, for by him, speaking of Christ, for by Christ all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principality or powers, all things were created through him, and notice, and for him. All things were created through him and for him. We were created by Christ and for Christ. So God has a purpose. The word purpose means a desired goal. He has a desired goal for each and every one of us, everyone in this sanctuary today, everyone who's joining online, every human. God has an ordained purpose for every one of us. Verse 28 of Colossians 1 gives us the ultimate purpose. We read these words, Colossians 1:28. Him, again, speaking of Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, that's every person. And the word perfect there, it does not mean like sinlessly perfect, although that is how Jesus will present us to the Father one day, because we have been cleansed and forgiven. And the Bible says he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But this verse says, that verse, word perfect means mature, full grown, or Christ-like. So to present every man perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. God's ultimate purpose for every one of us is that we become like Christ. So the message this morning, and I want to give it to you as a confession. And my prayer is that even if it's not true in someone's heart today, someone's mind and life, that by the time we're done, in this time we have together, you will mean it. And you will want it in your life. You will desire it. And it's simply this. I live for God's purposes. If God has a purpose for me, I want to know what it is and I want to live it out. I want to fulfill my God-given destiny and purpose. I want to be like Christ one day. I know the Lord, so I'm on the right path. But I want to live my purpose right now, right here in life. So I live for God's purposes. Would you say that with me? I live for God's purposes. Then one more scripture. I'll read this to you in 2 Timothy. Again, if you just want to write the reference, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Because you were in the heart and mind of God long before you were conceived on earth. This is what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 1, 9, that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. It wasn't something we did. But according to, and notice, his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? before the clock started, before time began, God had a purpose by his grace for every one of us. That's what I'm saying. God has a purpose for us, and we can know it and live it out. This verse says he saved us and called us. So the first question I would like to ask this morning is, are you saved? In other words, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is your Father, Jesus is your Lord, he's with you in life, and when you draw your last breath in this body, you will be in his presence? To be saved means that God's Spirit has drawn us to believe the Word of God, the testimony that we have sinned and fallen short, but that Jesus loved us so much, God loved us so much that he gave his Son. He came to rescue us. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to bear the judgment for our sins, all of them. He died. He was buried. 3 days later, he came back to life to prove that everything he said is true, and he has ascended on high, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And when God's Spirit draws us to believe that truth and we confess Jesus as Lord, it doesn't matter if we're 4 or 104, we are saved. We are born again. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Heaven is in our home. And we thank God for that's good news. Thank God for that. Now this morning, let me join you in Acts chapter 11, because I want to be like Barnabas to you today. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 21. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 21. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord was with them, speaking of the people here, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. This is verse 23. When he came and it seemed the grace of God. Remember, we're saved by God's grace, not our works. He came to these new believers and he said, man, I see God's grace on you. I see something in you. There's something that resonates in my spirit. I see that God's grace is on you. You really know Jesus and you're following him. He's changed your heart. You've been forgiven. And he said he was glad and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, purpose of heart. Would you say that with me? Purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. And that's my desire today. When I say I live for God's purposes, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Continue, purpose of heart, continue with the Lord. And I believe I need to renew it every day. I have an overall commitment. But Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow him. So I want to be, I really have sensed this working in me. I want to commit every day to say, Lord, I'm here for you. I live for your purposes. And I want to fulfill your call and purpose on my life. And that's true for, I believe, every one of us. There was a man, a pastor by the name of Dr. Miles Monroe years ago back in the Bahamas. And he used to say, I remember hearing him, we were living in an apartment. I remember catching him one night on some station. And it stood out with me all those years. He said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Where purpose is not known, if I don't know the purpose of something, say a child can grab a little something, you know, whatever. If they don't know the purpose of it, they'll think it's a drum. And they'll be beating your brand new whatever all to pieces. Or, you know, they don't understand. They might not understand the purpose. But if we're breathing, we have a God-given purpose. There's a purpose for our lives, and I don't believe it's a secret as far as God's going to just try to hide it from us, but there is a path to discover it. So where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable, and God revealed his general purpose to us in his word. And as we live by God's general purposes in our individual lives, then we can discover God's individual purpose for us as unique individuals. So let me just give you one just general truth here. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And if you don't have a scripture you're already kind of thinking about and maybe dwelling on, I would ask you to consider this one this week. How you can live this out. Think about it every day. Give a little time to it. Maybe read it, memorize it. It's not a long one, a hard one. It just says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Would you read that with me? If on the screen would be on the same translation, would you read it with me? Therefore, Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So the general purpose is that not only will I eat to the glory of God, drink to the glory of God, but whatever I do, that if I do it to the glory of God, now am I going to fall short and sin somewhere along the way? Yes, but I'm on that path. My heart is to do everything I do to the glory of God. And as I'm doing that, then God can guide me and lead me. And I just think back to some years ago, I was working at Frito-Lay. And I believe God had put in my heart to go into ministry, to be a youth pastor and to serve. And I remember in my heart when I may have even said it out loud, I may have told Kim, well, I'm going to pay this truck off, and then let me first save a little money, set aside, and then because I don't know what, I might not make, a whole lot. I worked 9 years part-time once I went into ministry to make ends meet, and I thank God for that opportunity. But right around that time, I heard a message by a man named Chuck Smith, and the message was out of Luke 14, and he talked about how Jesus, invited people to follow him. And there were three men who made different excuses. They said, well, let me first go bury my dad. I'm going to wait for him to die. Then I'll follow you. Let me first go. I got some business. I bought some land. Let me first. And it hit me just so strong that it was the exact words I was using. I was saying, I'll follow you, Lord, but me first. Me first pay the truck. Me first save some. I said, wow. But I was on the general path. I really wanted to do God's will, and the Lord helped me and guide me with a word that I believe was a word for me in season then. And so I can't tell you what your individual, maybe I can see some things and maybe prophesy and encourage you, but each of us as we walk that out. So I need to relate to Kim, to the glory of God. We raise children to the glory of God. We manage money to the glory of God. We do our jobs to the glory of God. We study in class to the glory of God. How about this one? We drive to the glory of, that's been coming to me recently for some reason. Drive to the glory of God. But everything that we do, if we do it to the glory of God, then the Lord can help guide us into the more specific areas. So, like for example, if you just want to write this verse down, 2 Timothy 1:11, Paul said this, to which I was appointed, this was his specific, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's not everyone's, not mine, I'm not an apostle, but it was his. But as he followed God's general path, the Lord was able to lead him in the specific path. I live for God's purposes. Would you say that with me? I live for God's purposes. And I believe there are two general ways that if we live this out, we'll find out the specifics, okay? So here's the first one. If you're there in Acts, would you just turn back one book to John 15? John chapter 15. And this is how we can live out God's purposes and find out the specific details. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So God has a purpose for us. It's not always easy. I've learned this over the years. God's will may not always be easy, and it's not, but it's always best. God's will is always best. So John chapter 15, let me just give you this. I'll just mention both of them real quick. How do I fulfill God's purposes? I live for God's purposes by, first of all, fellowship with him and then service for him. Fellowship with him and service for him. God did not create us as artificial intelligence. He did not create us as robots who just kind of do whatever he programs us to do. He wants sons and daughters in his family because he's a good father. So everything in the Christian life really should flow out of relationship, out of fellowship with him. Jesus said these words in John 15, beginning in verse 4. John 15, verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me. Abide, that means remain. It's to be in a given state or relationship. So he said, abide in me, and I'll abide in you because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Here we go again. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. In other words, we can't produce the fruit of God's Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit, without him. And we cannot fulfill and live out our God-ordained purpose apart from him. Verse 8 says this, because we're talking about doing all that we do to the glory of God. Jesus said in verse 8, by this, by you abiding in me and bearing fruit, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Here's what it means to abide means to just stay and live in close fellowship with him. Abide is to live in close fellowship with him. It's not just that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who has a strong connection to my Heavenly Father. I know sometimes you get into an area and your phone may not have a good connection and it'll spin or buffer or whatever. I think we can be like that spiritually, that if we don't have that strong connection, it's hard for us to receive the message. It's hard for us to hear, and we need a strong connection, and we maintain a strong connection by fellowship, staying in close fellowship with Jesus, because he's the one who produces life. He is the one who produces this fruit, and living fruitful lives as disciples and followers of Jesus glorifies our Father in heaven. We cannot produce the fruit apart from him, and we cannot fulfill our God-given destiny apart from him. So fellowship, that's really what the Christian life is. It's fellowship, it's knowing God as Father, knowing Jesus as Lord, and then just living out of that relationship. So it's knowing him, and if we're in close fellowship with the Lord, it gives us joy. As a Christian, I can't have fullness of joy and be out of fellowship with my Father and with Jesus. I can't. Now, we can go through hard times and we go through seasons and we're sad, whatever it may be. But fullness of joy comes by being in right relationship with him. So fellowship with him, maintaining that strong connection and living in that, is, you know, how do we maintain close fellowship with Jesus? How do we maintain close fellowship with him? He's in heaven, I'm here. It's not a secret, and it's not beyond us, is it? What is one way? Prayer. See, we can pray, and it keeps strong connection. Stay in an attitude of prayer. What else? Praise and worship. Worship keeps us in close fellowship with him because it invites us, his presence, into us. Anything else? What else can we do to maintain a strong connection? The Word of God, right? So the Word of God keeps us close fellowship. Man, the Word of God has a cleansing effect, the Bible says, when we read it. You might read it and feel like, I just didn't remember. I tried to remember. Keep focusing. Don't give up. Just because you got dirty this week doesn't mean you won't take a shower again, right? So you said, I took a shower. I just got dirty. I might as well hang it up. I won't keep doing it. No. Please, take a shower. And don't give up on the Word. I just didn't understand it. Let it. Just keep in it. Stay in it. Let it wash you. Let it cleanse you. Let it strengthen you. Your feet and your spirit. Don't give up on it. Fellowship with one another keeps us in close connection. Yes, Rick. Okay, did you say seeking or speaking? That's right, speaking, because our words give direction to our lives. The Bible says, like a rudder to a ship. What about speaking the word, sharing our faith? Can keep us in close connection with the Lord. And as we're following him, then he'll guide us and lead us in those specifics. I love that thought. You don't have to feel like, but I'm just working this mundane, dead-end job. I wish God would give me another one. But while you're there, why don't you go ahead and just do it to the glory of God, and you will be fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You can do anything. If you're serving and your heart is right, it's ministry. You can repair an engine as ministry. You can, whatever it is, repair teeth, cut meat, cut hair, sell insurance, whatever it is, you can do it to the glory of God, and you're fulfilling God's purpose. And if you're retired or you're in a season where you're not working, Just do everything you do to the glory of God. You're here for a reason or you'll be home. I live for God's purpose. Would you say that with me? I live for God's purpose. And then would you turn to Romans chapter 12? One more. We live it out by fellowship with him. So you got John, Acts, and then Romans chapter 12, and then service for him. So again, he's not just we're laborers. We're sons and daughters carrying on the family business. So it's fellowship with him and then service for him. So out of that relationship, out of fellowship, in John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's plural. It's our faith in the Lord that connects us to him and to one another. So you are the branches. So he says this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So let's not think too highly of ourselves. Let's not think that we are sufficient of ourselves to fulfill God's purpose. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. So he says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So we discover our spiritual gift by serving, by using them. Let me ask you a question. This verse says we are members of his body. One body, many members. How does my hand fulfill its purpose? If I were to cut it off, which I'm not planning on doing, and just placing it on a table, could it fulfill its purpose apart from the body? Please think about that a second. My hand could not fulfill its purpose without direction from the brain and without being connected and interdependent with the other members of my body. If we are members of the body of Christ, one member, again, sometimes people just can't always get here. That's not what I'm saying. But we can still maintain a connection. But it's our relation with one another that helps us not only discover our purpose, but fulfill our God-ordained destiny. If I want to live for God's purpose, I not only have to stay in fellowship with him, I have to do whatever I can in service. Some of you work, you know, I know many hours. When I worked at one couple particular jobs, put in a lot of hours. One service may not be what another service is. That's not the issue. Are you just available? Are you willing? And as you do that, God will use you, not just in time, God will use you for all eternity. It will matter. How we live matters. And as I thought about fellowship with the Lord as being connection, I think of serving for him as cooperation. Cooperation. Cooperation, I looked up the definition. It means working together for a common cause. As believers, we have a common cause to make disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. That's our common cause, and how we work that out will depend on our individual call. But we worship and serve because God is our Father. And again, we're carrying on the family business. And as we do, we will stand before God one day, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Doesn't have to be many. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I live for God's purpose. Would you tell someone next to you, I live for God's purpose? If you want to write this one, I'm going to close with this scripture. Let me read it to you. It's Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4, if you want to write it down. Two verses. The people of God had been released from captivity. They returned to their homeland and they set out to rebuild the temple. And this is what we read in Ezra chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building. Let me pause there just a second. What is the temple today? It's us, isn't it? It's the body of Christ. It's the church. And Jesus said he's going to build his church, but he uses us in that process. And don't you know, as the enemies of Judah, the Bible says in that verse 4, try to discourage them in rebuilding the temple. Don't you know the devil is going to try to discourage us in building the kingdom of God? Discourage us in fulfilling our God-ordained purpose and our call? Verse 5 says, and they hired counselors against them. Notice how it's worded. To frustrate their purpose. To frustrate their purpose. And our adversary, the devil, is still trying to discourage us and frustrate our God-ordained purpose. Let's not let him. Let's maintain fellowship with him. Let's serve him. And let's fulfill our God-ordained destiny. I can tell you, it'll bring you great joy to produce fruit to the glory of God. Rick Warren said, let me look at it because I want to say it exactly. When you live in the light of eternity, your values change. See, how we live matters. We matter to God. How we live matters now, and it matters for all time. It matters for eternity. When you live in the light of eternity, your values change. Would you just think about this between you and the Lord now? Is there a change that you need to make to fulfill God's call on your life? Because if you're not doing what you do to the glory of God, that's the first step. If I'm already saying, well, I'm not going to do that to the glory of God. I know what his will is, but I'm not going to do it. Then you're not going to fulfill your God-ordained purpose. You might live, and people may think you're prosperous and blessed, but you'll miss your God-ordained purpose. So I live for God's purpose first. Is there a change I need to make to get in right fellowship with him? And is there a change I need to make to just be available for him to use me? And whatever that is, if there's a case, I'll just ask, will you do it? Would you be willing? And I believe, I want to ask you to, if you'd be willing to join me every day, to say, Lord, I'm purposed to fill, I want to live for your purpose. Now help me, and let's trust him for grace to live it out. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's think about that this week and think of how we can fulfill our God-ordained purpose. Let's stand together and we'll close in prayer.